Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Chapter 4, text 34. Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshyanti te jnanam jnanenastattva darshanaha tadvidhi pranipatena Pariprasnena sevaya upadekshyanti te jnanam jnanenastattva darshanaha. Here in the purport, Srila Prabhupada states, satisfaction of the self-realized spiritual master is the secret of advancement in spiritual life. This profound statement we learn from Srila Prabhupada himself was practically the motto of Srila Prabhupada's own life. He related that when he first came across this statement, which is translated from Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary on Bhagavad Gita, when Srila Prabhupada was going through that, reading the Sanskrit, it had a tremendous effect on him. And everything he did was for the satisfaction of his spiritual master. And he conveyed this understanding to his own disciples. So therefore, in ISKCON, probably more than any other spiritual organization, or even semi-spiritual or pseudo-spiritual, the point of satisfaction of the guru is very, very strongly stressed. It is there in the Ramanuja Sampradaya also, it's very strongly stressed there. And it's generally understood throughout Indian culture that one has to satisfy guru, and that is extended to all kinds of gurus, including parents, seniors by age, and so on. So this is it's a profound statement. There are so many. Practically every line in Srila Prabhupada's books are profound statements. I just looked up to the previous purport. Real knowledge culminates in Krishna consciousness. We just take it. Yeah, we hear that every day, but it's what a statement that puts all the universities in the history of the world into perspective. Useless, because their knowledge doesn't culminate in Krishna consciousness. And that's only half a sentence. The sentence continues, Krishna consciousness, real knowledge culminates in Krishna consciousness, the highest stage of transcendental knowledge. So satisfaction of the self-realized spiritual master is the secret of advancement in spiritual life, which naturally gives rise to the question, who is an actual guru? Who are you going to dedicate your life to satisfy? Especially as in this purport, Srila Prabhupada indicates that there are persons who are foolish pretenders. Srila Prabhupada writes, near the beginning of the purport, no one can be spiritually realized by manufacturing his own process, as is the fashion of the foolish pretenders. So we get indication from this. Srila Prabhupada wrote this before. No one can be a bona fide spiritual master without following this principle of disciplic succession. So the first thing we should look for, if we're going to find out a bona fide spiritual master or an actual guru, is that he has heard in disciplic succession. It's the first thing we should see. Here's a quote from Srila Prabhupada's purport to Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 5, Text 31. An actual guru is Shrutriya. And then Srila Prabhupada explains the term Shrutriya. One who has heard or received perfect knowledge through parampara, the disciplic succession. So that's one of the qualifications. One who has heard. And the Shrutriya Brahmanishtam. These two basic qualities are given of a bona fide guru. Tadvijnanatam sagurum eva abhigachet. One must approach a guru. And the two qualifications, Shrutriya, one he should have heard, that means in disciplic succession. It literally means one who has heard, but it's universally within Vedic culture understood to mean one who has heard in a bona fide guru-disciple parampara. And then Brahmanishta means he's heard. What has he heard? Atato Brahma Jignasa. One should inquire about the absolute truth. So having inquired, he should have heard about that. And he should be not only have heard, but be fixed in his spiritual position and in spiritual understanding. Srila Prabhupada many times made this point. From the writings of Srila Prabhupada, an actual guru is one who is fully trained in the ocean of spiritual knowledge or Vedic knowledge. So guru means teacher. He should know. One has to be a student, then one can become a teacher. One has to be a disciple, then he can be a guru. We should not be very eager to be a guru. We should be very eager to be a disciple. If we're a good disciple, then we can be a good guru. As Srila Prabhupada said, because I heard well, Shravana, therefore I can speak well, Kirtana. Of course, these are the basic qualifications of a bona fide guru. He should be in a bona fide parampara, and he should be self-realized. There are many other considerations, but they're all contained in these two. Here's another, or they follow from these two. Here's another quotation from Srila Prabhupada. A spiritual master is recognized as an actual guru when it is seen that he has changed the character of his disciples. Otherwise, it's meaningless. Just like someone may say, well, I went to Oxford University. Yeah, you can go. Anyone can go. You can go and walk around the grounds, and then afterwards you can say, I went to Oxford University. Although it's not in one campus. But anyway. But actually, if one has been to Oxford University, if in the normal usage of that linguistic device, I went to Oxford University, it should be visible that the person is educated. He's not expected to talk like a, an East London working class Cockney. He's expected to be educated, thoughtful, gentleman, cultured, at least by the standards of English civilization. I'm just thinking what word to use, but I guess we can use that word. There should be some effect seen. Not that he remains an uncultured fool. If after going to Oxford University, he thinks, and then in the course of conversation says, yeah, I went to the capital of America, right? New York's the capital of America, right? People say, oh, this guy's a fool. Don't think he went to Oxford University, because even the guy in the street, the ordinary man, knows that Washington, D.C. is the capital of America, not New York. So if he's supposed to be more educated, he should at least know the basic things. So one who can change the character of his disciples is an actual acharya, just like someone who is qualified to teach at Oxford University should be himself on a high level of education. And is appointed by others. That means that he's known to others. It's not that he just pops out somewhere and says, here I am, I know a lot, make me a professor. But he should be known. His character and his ability to understand and articulate and teach abstruse subjects should be abstruse concepts, that should be apparent before he can be appointed to such a prestigious post. The prestige of the university has to be maintained. If they bring in all bricklayers and make them professors, then the prestige will go down and the purpose of the university won't be fulfilled. So then, who is a self-realized soul? That question comes. Here Srila Prabhupada writes in the translation, the self-realized souls. And he's translating the word in this verse, gyaninaha. The self, Srila Prabhupada, in the word for word, Prabhupada translates this as the self-realized, those who are self-realized. Well, again, it comes to the same point, that one who has followed another self-realized, ultimately, self-realization, that means, to know Krishna. Vedaischa sarvairahameva vedyaha. One has to approach a guru for learning Vedic knowledge, and the ultimate level of Vedic knowledge is to know Krishna. So, again, the point comes that one has to follow another self-realized soul. The Lord is the original spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada writes in this purport, and a person in the disciplic succession can convey the message of the Lord as it is to his disciple. So therefore one has to approach such a person who speaks the same message. He has to hear that message and he has to convey it to others. And in this way, the transmission of knowledge goes on. Of course, this is different to what goes on at Oxford University, in as much as, for instance, advanced physics, as taught us at Oxford University, will not be, there'll be many facets of it which are not the same as what was taught at Oxford University 100 years ago or 200 years ago, because it's speculative knowledge. It is by the ascending process in which they increase their knowledge and understanding all the time, which is a one perspective on it. Another perspective is that they're always in ignorance. If we say that, well, 100 years ago, what they were taught teaching at Oxford University in physics, if we compare it to what's being taught now, we'd say, well, they didn't know. It's really backward. Well, that makes us think that if you come back in another 100 years, that what we're teaching now is backward. It's always incomplete and imperfect. So this Vedic system means to give perfect knowledge, complete knowledge. It doesn't change. There's no need to change because it's perfect. If you change it, that's a defect. In mundane knowledge, if you change it, that's or if you find something new, that's considered advancement in knowledge. Contributing knowledge to the human race. But the Vedic understanding of advancement in knowledge is subjective, in as much as the advancement of knowledge is done by individuals, but the knowledge itself is already there. And the purpose of the guru is not to change anything. That's his qualification. Not to add anything or subtract anything. That is his qualification. So it's very different from academic knowledge. So we've self-realized soul. I'm going over the page. Self-realized soul. Who is that person when we think of a pure devotee, Mahabhagavat, Uttamadhikari? We think of these terms, isn't it? When we think of a self-realized soul. Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena Santa Sadaiva Hridayeshu Vilokayanti Yang Shyamasundaram Achintyaguna Swarupam Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. We learn from Lord Brahma that persons whose eyes are tinged with the salve of love of Govinda, which is a very beautiful and poetic way of saying pure devotee, he always sees within his heart the form of Shyamasundara, the beautiful blackish form of Krishna, which is composed of, his form is composed of, they're not really English words, but to say, but anyway, we just have to use that because that's all we got. If we're trying to say it in English, Achintya Guna Swarupa, his transcendental form is composed of inconceivable transcendental qualities. And a pure devotee always sees that person, Govinda, within his heart. So you have to find out such a guru. But how are you going to say? Anyone say, yeah, I see Govinda in my heart. Take initiation from me. I only charge 200 euros. Cheap. You can get prem cheap from me. Oh, cheaply. Yeah, you don't have to chant any rounds. Just think of me. There's some gurus who say, not Vaishnav gurus. They say, just think of me. That's all. Just think of me. Aravind, just think of me. That's all you have to do. You don't have to see me. He locked himself away in a room, and only the Divine Mother, his French girlfriend, was allowed to see him. And everyone else could just think about him. This is not a guru. A guru has to teach. So, who can we teach? Who will teach? Actually, those who are absorbed in thinking of Krishna all the time, they don't make very good gurus. Huh? What did... was a slip of the tongue? Well, those who are... Let's rephrase that a little bit. Let's qualify that statement. That, okay, Bhaktivinoda Babaji Maharaj. Maybe some of you have read a little book I made about him. He's clearly absorbed in love of Krishna all the time. Would he make a good guru? You want to try and be like him? If anyone tries to be like him, they'll just become completely offensive. Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, quite a few people came to him and tried to be his disciple, but he wouldn't accept. He expected them to immediately be on the same level of perfection as him. Not very practical. He practically didn't want to be bothered by disciples. He wanted to get on with his bhajan. So we hear of topmost devotees who come down, so to speak, to the level of middle level devotees who can preach. Because the middle level devotee, Madhyamadhikari, is described as Ishvare Tadadhineshu Bali Sheshu Dvishachuta. Prema Maitri Kripopeksha Yakaroti Samadhyama. When I say the verse, it gives you a little time for the neurons to have a little break. Huh? Like Vyasadeva, sometimes he spoke very difficult verses to Ganesh, because Ganesh had agreed to transcribe Vyasadeva's dictation of the Mahabharata. Sometimes, but there was a condition that I won't transcribe it unless I understand it. So time to time, Vyasadeva needed a break, and he'd say something very, very difficult. And then Ganesh needed a little time to work it out, and then Vyasadeva would go on. So, an intermediate devotee comes down, a topmost devotee comes down to the level where in which he interacts with different people in different ways. This verse, Ishvare Tadadhineshu, he loves the Supreme Lord, makes friendship with the devotees, is merciful to innocent people, and avoids grossly envious people. So preaching means exercising discrimination. One has to discriminate between what is right and what is wrong. What should be done and what should not be done. Pure devotee, or the devotees on the topmost level, is described in the same section of Srimad Bhagavatam that this description of the Madhyamadhikari comes, or the Madhyam Bhagavat, the Uttam Bhagavat, or Mahabhagavat, is described in several verses, the first of which is Sarvabhuteshu Yapashyad Bhagavat Bhavam Atmani. Bhuteshu Bhagavati Atman Esha Bhagavatotama. The topmost devotee sees Krishna and everyone related to Krishna, and he doesn't differentiate between those who are actually devotees, those who are not devotees. How are you going to preach if you see everyone as a devotee? Then what are you going to preach? There's nothing to preach, because he sees everyone as a devotee except himself, in his humility. It is just like someone has to learn physics. You can use the example of physics again. Who would be a good teacher for a 16-year-old student who's done basic physics at school and wants to go on to a higher level? Einstein? Would Einstein be a good teacher? Probably not. He's just on a level so high that hardly anyone can understand what he's thinking. And he might not have the patience or even the ability to deal with average 16-year-old students of physics who require to be taught very basic things. Einstein would be bored, he'd be frustrated, and he might not be able to restrict himself to teaching such things or even talking about such things. And why should he anyway, when he's got things to do up on that level? So then one may ask, well, who's going to be the guru then? It's supposed to be a pure devotee, but then we're saying pure devotees don't make very good gurus, or at least if they act on the level of their own realization, then they won't be suitable teachers for those who are just beginning on the path of self-realization. The neophytes who are on the threshold of the house of bhakti, Srila Prabhupada writes in one purport in the first canto. Here's a quotation from the Nectar of Instruction. A neophyte Vaishnava or a Vaishnava situated on the intermediate platform can also accept disciples. So those who are on a, those who are not on the topmost platform, they can accept disciples. However, the sentence continues, but such disciples must be on the same platform, and it should be understood that they cannot advance very well toward the ultimate goal of life under his insufficient guidance. Let's read that sentence within the context of other sentences that it's from the Nectar of Instruction, verse 5, Srila Prabhupada's commentary. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given some practical hints to the effect that an Uttamadhikari Vaishnav can be recognized by his ability to convert many souls, many fallen souls, to Vaishnavism. How will we know who's an Uttam Vaishnava? Anyone can say Prem, Prem, Prem. It's not difficult to pronounce. But here the idea is given that his ability to convert many souls to Vaishnavism. One should not become a spiritual master unless he has attained the platform of an Uttamadhikari. A neophyte Vaishnava or a Vaishnava situated on the intermediate platform can also accept disciples. Now, in one sentence, Srila Prabhupada says that one should not become a spiritual master unless he has attained the platform of an Uttamadhikari. Then the next sentence, he says that a neophyte Vaishnava or a Vaishnava situated on the intermediate platform can also accept disciples. It appears to be contradictory. But such disciples must be on the same platform, and it should be understood that they cannot advance very well toward the ultimate goal of life under his insufficient guidance. Therefore, a disciple should be careful to accept an Uttamadhikari as a spiritual master. So the disciple or the prospective disciple should be very careful to accept an Uttamadhikari as a spiritual master, but others can also initiate. In this regard, Srila Prabhupada wrote that a person who is a liberated acharya and guru cannot commit any mistake. But there are persons who are less qualified or not liberated, but they can still act as a guru and acharya by strictly following the disciplic succession. Srila Prabhupada often gave the example how knowledge is received. That one may not be fully realized and perfect, but if he simply repeats what he has heard, then that is perfect. And he gave the example, many times he used the example of a microphone. If the child asks the father, "What is this?" and the father says, "It is a microphone," and then the child says to others, "This is a microphone," he's correct. It's a fact. So in this way, one has to receive knowledge and repeat it. Of course, there is a matter of realization also. There's nothing in the matter of spiritual realization specifically connected to a microphone. Of course, one can say it's Krishna's microphone, but then you can say that about anything. The point Srila Prabhupada is making here is that one should hear and repeat. That's the first thing. Realization. What is that? Realization. What is the point we should repeat? Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We are all his servants. So how do we know if someone's realized? If they realize this, if they act all the time in Krishna's service. That's realization, isn't it? It might not be that they're seeing Krishna face to face, but their activities demonstrate the point that, what is that? Avyartha kalatvam. What is that? I'm missing one word. That the devotees who are on the level of bhava bhakti, they don't want to waste any time. They want to use all the time in Krishna's service, nothing else. no hobbies, no holidays, all the time, fully engaged in Krishna's service. Now, the question may be, arise that, that one cannot advance very well toward the ultimate goal of life under his insufficient guidance. Well, in the beginning, the guidance that a devotee who is not on the very topmost level, in the beginning, his guidance will be very suitable. In the beginning, the devotees don't require to be taught about their particular service in the groves of Vrindavan. You are a gopi, and this is your age, this is your name. That's not required in the beginning. In the beginning, they should learn. Rise early in the morning, take shower, bathe, go to the temple, put on tilak, wear clean clothes, go to the temple, chant the holy names. These are the things they have to learn. When one comes to that very high level, that one is seeing or qualified to actually enter into the pastimes of Krishna, at that time, one may require a guru who can guide one in that. Although Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he commented that at that level, just some direction is required. It's not that one is, that the guru, he has to direct everything. That becomes revealed to the devotee. Anyway, the question arises, what if the available guidance is insufficient? Then one's effectiveness as a spiritual guide, it comes from following the disciplic succession, right? That same point. One has heard, one has faith. This is what should be done. He does it himself. He teaches others to do it. Again, from the same purport, from the nectar of instruction, to verse 5, when a neophyte devotee is actually initiated, this is on the third page, when a neophyte devotee is actually initiated and engaged in devotional service by the orders of the spiritual master, he should be accepted immediately as a bona fide Vaishnava and obeisances should be offered to him. Out of many such Vaishnavas, one may be found to be very seriously engaged in the service of the Lord and strictly following all the regulative principles, chanting the prescribed number of rounds and on japa beads, and always thinking of how to expand the Krishna consciousness movement. Such a Vaishnava should be accepted as an Uttama Adhikari, a highly advanced devotee, and his association should always be sought. So here's a definition that Srila Prabhupada gives of an Uttamadhikari. He gives the idea that there may not be very many among many neophyte devotees. One may be found who's very seriously engaged in the service of the Lord, strictly following all the regulated principles. Sometimes we think Uttamadhikari means they all have to be like Vanshidas and they don't follow regulated principles. But here, Srila Prabhupada writes, they're strictly following all the regulated principles, chanting the prescribed number of rounds on japa beads, and always thinking of how to expand the Krishna conscious movement. Srila Prabhupada here gives a definition in terms of preaching and spreading the Krishna consciousness movement. How are we to serve Krishna? Devotee means he has to serve Krishna. Well, there's deity worship. There's so many things to be done in deity worship. One answer to that is we have to do what Krishna wants us to do. Right? That makes sense, doesn't it? The servant has to do what the master wants him to do. Just like someone may concoct some ways to serve, just like someone may bring to the guru I've made a nice petticoat for you. I think you would look nice in a petticoat. But gurus, these male gurus, they don't wear petticoats. So they say, no, you. I know you're a gopi, so you please wear it. You know, even the gopis don't wear that unless they're Western gopis. So it's a speculation, but I want you, then the disciple may pray, I want to serve you like this. No, you have to serve what he wants. The guru asks for a glass of water, and the disciple thinks, oh, but actually milk is better than water. Let me bring some milk, and bring some milk. And the guru says, well, I didn't ask for milk. I asked for water. Maybe after some time I'll ask for milk, but now I want water. So the disciple has to know what the guru wants. Krishna wanted Arjuna to fight. Mamana smira yudhyacha, to think of Krishna and fight. What does Krishna want us to do? Generally speaking, what Krishna wants us to do at the present time is jare dekho tare kaha Krishna upadesh amar agyai guru hoya tara edesh, to instruct others in the science of Krishna and become a guru and save this land. Krishna has come as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he wants this Krishna conscious movement spread very widely. So in pursuance of this essential point of Krishna consciousness, which practically, one of the things that marks Srila Prabhupada as being different to others, other Vaishnavas, we can say his compassion, his sense of humor, and so many things. We can say in so many ways Srila Prabhupada was unique, but more than others, and maybe uniquely, Srila Prabhupada saw that the mission of Krishna in the world at the present time is to preach Krishna consciousness and uplift others. No one stressed that or lived that as Srila Prabhupada did. And he imparted that spirit to his disciples also. It might almost seem that Srila Prabhupada wasn't very interested in talking about Krishna's intimate pastimes with the gopis. Hardly he talked about it. And if anyone brought the subject up, Srila Prabhupada, he didn't usually pursue that. But he was very interested in talks of preaching Krishna consciousness. So you may think, well, Srila Prabhupada, he must be on a lower level. That would be a very foolish idea. Srila Prabhupada was very concerned to give us, his disciples, and the people of the world, what they need for advancement in Krishna consciousness at our present level, and what we need to do. What we need to do in the service of the parampara, of the Guru Parampara, which is to bring Krishna consciousness to others. And even be very guarded in giving them all these very, very high levels, lest fools rush in where angels fear to tread. Even if we are cultivating internally so many advanced topics that should be carefully presented to or to a large extent shielded from neophyte devotees who are very much apt to misunderstand those pastimes and to misunderstand their own level of spiritual realization. I recently read about this Iyengar. What was his name, that yoga teacher? B.S.? BKS Iyengar, yeah, that he was surprised and not very pleased with, because he was teaching Hatha Yoga in the Western countries, and he didn't like that The Western disciples come to him and they expect to have mystic realization almost immediately. But that may come after some lifetimes of very serious practice. But they expect instant nirvana. But what is that? What is that verse? Vitaraga bhayakroda manmaya mamupashrita bhavo jnana tapasa puta madbhava magataha. Krishna says that being purified from, or being free from attachment, fear and anger, vitaraga bhayakroda, taking full shelter in me, many persons have attained to me, but after acquiring knowledge and doing austerities. It's not just that it's just something very instant or cheap. So Srila Prabhupada is very concerned. Although he made Krishna consciousness available to all out of his mercy, he didn't want it to be taken cheaply. So another description, we're talking about first class devotees here. This is page one. First class devotee. This is a description from the Nectar of Devotion. The first class devotee is one who has strictly followed the rules and regulations under the training of a bona fide spiritual master and has sincerely obeyed him in accord with revealed scriptures. This is the definition that Srila Prabhupada is giving here. Thus, being fully trained to preach and become a spiritual master himself, he is considered first class. So Srila Prabhupada gives here the training that is required to become a spiritual master. He has strictly followed the rules and regulations under the training of a bona fide spiritual master and has sincerely obeyed him in accord with revealed scriptures. So this is a definition here of the first class devotee in the definition that Srila Prabhupada gave in relation to preaching what people need to hear. This is what Krishna wants us to do. Generally speaking, in the present time, this is the period of the Sankirtan movement. In the Krita Yoga, Kritaya Dhyato Vishnam, Satya Yoga, Krishna wanted that people would meditate. Dhyana Vastita Tatgatena Manasa Pashantiyam Yogiraha. The yogis, they were to meditate upon Krishna. In Treta Yoga, Tretayam Yajato Makai, Krishna instituted the system of sacrifices to please him. That's called the Yuga Dharma for Treta Yoga. In Dwarapa Yoga, Dwapare Paricharyaryam. In Dwarapa Yoga, the system is deity worship and Kalotad Hari Kirtanat. In Kali Yoga, the system of God realization is Hari Kirtan, glorifying Lord Sri Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. So that glorification means by chanting his holy names and attempting to spread his glories all over the world in various ways, particularly by speaking this message. And of course, we can bring the spoken message of Srila Prabhupada in the form of his books to others. Srila Prabhupada said it is spoken kirtan, because he dictated that. So that's also Sankirtan, distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. So that's a little overview of the qualifications of the guru. Now a little bit, these are vast topics, about the disciple. How does the disciple follow the acharya in disciplic succession? That I've discussed a little bit. Getting back to this purport from it's written here also on page one. Yeah. Getting back to chapter 4, text 34, purport. Srila Prabhupada writes, blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned. One should not only hear submissively, but one should get a clear understanding through submission, service, and inquiries. So blind following. Oh, I've got a guru. Put his picture on the wall. Jai! Jai Gurudev. And just do whatever he says. Nothing else. What's that story of the guru going on the horse with his foolish disciples? Ah, Guru Paramartha. How does it start? He tells, just do what I say. And the guru is going with the disciples, and the meal for the guru is packed. So they're going along. The guru is on the horse. The disciples are walking by the side, and the meal falls off, and they just let it down. So they stop after a couple of hours and say, oh, the guru says, okay, give me the meal. And he said, well, it fell off 2 hours back. He said, why didn't you pick it up? Well, you always told us only to do what you say, and you didn't tell us to pick it up. So, no meal. All right. And the guru says, all right, anything falls down from the horse, just bring it and put it on my lap so I can see. So, of course, the horse has had his meal. And he passes his stool and puts it on the guru, on his lap. And the guru gets down, cleans himself up and says, look, I tell you what, if anything falls down, just ask me. And unless I tell you, first of all, you ask me, unless I tell you, don't put it back on the horse. So they're going along, and all of a sudden the horse bolts, the guru falls down, hits his head, becomes unconscious. And the disciples go and say, should we put you back on the horse? He's unconscious. So they walk on with the horse. After some time, the guru wakes up. No horse in sight, no disciples in sight. A warning against having foolish disciples. Of course, the guru must have been a bit of a fool himself to accept such disciples. He was lucky when he lost them all. He lost a horse too. And he went hungry. So blind following and absurd inquiries. What's an example of an absurd inquiry? Yomameva samudho jana ti purushottamam sa sarva vid bhajatimam sarva bhavena bharata. Krishna says, one who knows without doubting that I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead knows everything, sa sarva, and he worships me in all respects. Let me say, oh, so I have to test the guru if he knows everything. How many leaves are on the tree out there? Absurd inquiry. When it says it means he knows everything, it means everything he needs to know. What does he need to know? Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I am his servant. How to serve him. These are the things he needs to know. Doesn't mean that he becomes omniscient. So that's an absurd inquiry. Oh, he couldn't tell me how many leaves are on the tree. So that means he's not self-realized. That's an absurd inquiry. So one should hear submissively and should get a clear understanding. That means one should actually try to understand, apply one's intelligence, God-given intelligence, to understand this message. Not just, we have to hear the guru. So we sit day after day after day and we just, like a cabbage sitting in the class and not applying one's intelligence to understand. So one actually has to try to understand what is being spoken. How does that understanding come? It comes through intelligence, yes, but also through submission. If one is challenging, one cannot understand. Because it's possible to be a skeptic and doubt anything, just everything. It's impossible to prove anything to a skeptic, because whatever statement one makes, one can express a doubt concerning it. Anyone like to express a statement that can be doubted? All right, we are all in Zagreb right now. Right? Axiomatic, uncontestable. Not to a skeptic. Come on, Radhe Govinda, be a skeptic now. How do you challenge that we're all in Zagreb right now? It's a conspiracy theory. Actually, it's all just an illusion. There is no Zagreb. There's no you. There's no me. Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. The whole world is false. You're just imagining that you're in Zagreb. There is no Zagreb. There is no you. There is no me. You can doubt anything, but one has to be submissive. One thing, how do you reply to a skeptic? What do you do? What's the philosophical reply to him? Anyone know? It's one of Srila Prabhupada's sayings. Kick him in the face with boots. Now this is a philosophical reply. It's actually a philosophical reply. You kick him in the face with boots and say, it's not real. Don't worry, it's not real. And kick him again. Hard. No, nothing's real. You see, it's all an illusion. It's all imagining. Don't worry about it. That is the philosophical reply. Here's a quote, another quote from Srila Prabhupada. In this regard, there are many, many quotes, of course, but I'm just giving one. Any path you follow, you have to follow the regulative principles as they are enacted by authorities. Makes sense, right? Even to change a fuse. Who is that? Someone told me recently. Someone had a degree in electrical engineering, but he didn't know how to change a fuse when he was asked to change. It's all theoretical. Someone told me recently, just all in the head, no practical knowledge. So even or to wire, to put the wires in the plug, you have to do it the right way. If you put it on the wrong way, then you'll blow out the whole, well, either blow the fuse or destroy the whole machine. You have to put positive with positive and negative with negative and earth in the right place. You have to follow the regulated principles. A simple example. Making chapatis. There's a way to do it. If you don't do it the right way, you won't get a proper chapati. Actually, to make a chapati, there are many things. You have to get good atta, first of all. Good flour. Suitable for making chapatis. Not all flour is very suitable for making chapatis. You have to mix it with the right amount of water, for the right amount of time, leave it for a little time, roll it out to the right width and diameter, put it on the griddle, which should be at the right temperature so that it doesn't just all burn on the outside and remain raw on the inside. Take it off before it gets completely burned, but not too soon so that it's still raw. There are many regulated principles for making chapatis. There are probably a few more, which I didn't think of right there. So even very simple things, things have to be done in the proper way. So Srila Prabhupada said, any path you follow, you have to follow the regulated principles as they are enacted by authorities. So that's true in all fields. Srila Prabhupada continues, in our disciplic succession, the previous acharyas have advised that you should have your dress like this. Yes, you should have your dress like this. Regulated principles of devotional service. You should have your head like this. Like this. So we have to follow that. Mahajano yena gata sapandha. Our principle is to follow the footprints of authorities. So these things, Srila Prabhupada is referring to the activities in devotional service, these things are not unauthorized. They are being followed from time immemorial. This dress, this tilak, this chanting, everything. Just like you see the picture of Lord Chaitanya, we are following the same principles. This was being enacted 500 years ago. The same principle we are following. We are not introducing anything new. We are simply following the footprints of our predecessors. That's all. So, who is a proper guru? One who is a proper disciple. That is the sum and substance of this talk. Hare Krishna. I'm not going to take any questions because there could be innumerable questions on this. So what's the program now? It's breakfast prasadam, except for those who are to be initiated. They can chant some rounds. And then 10:30 the program begins, is it? Yeah. And then there has to be one talk on the 10 offenses, right? And one talk on the meaning of initiation and this and that. I gave a little bit now. But it's a huge, huge topic, actually. Guru and disciple in Krishna consciousness. The essence of it is very simple. But the details are many. Okay, and then I'll come whenever you're all ready. And when I'm ready. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
All glories to His divine grace, Srila Prabhupada.